Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
We are very grateful and honored and thankful to God for those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time. Maybe this local, normal Ghanaian congregation. So sometimes some of you are wondering, why is the pastor preaching in jeans and shirt? All right, for us, we are on a journey. We've captioned it, the 40 days of Daniel plan, and we are going casual all through this time because when we come to church, we'll be exercising. Because I've realized that so many of us, as we are Christians, but the only thing we do to help us stay healthy and advance and progress in life is to pray. All right, is to just pray. And then we depend on other people to do our prayers for us. So some of us are here, but we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have all sorts of people all over the world. We send them money and they do some of the things for us. But God is impressed upon our heart that we are living in times where God is not in loggerheads with anybody. The Bible says that those who know their God shall do exploit. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was opened, which means that all of us have access to the throne room of God so we can hear God's voice for ourselves. I believe that God is speaking to us. So we began last week with our Daniel plan. What do we mean? Now, I know people are asking so many questions around it. Now, listen, let me be very clear. Whatever is not in this booklet, don't eat it. Let me repeat it again. Let me repeat. If he says that there is no bread, you know, my friend, don't look at any direction. Look at me. Yeah. There's no bread inside, which means there is no bread. So if the men, the women, if you are organizing something, at least during this Daniel fast, look for something else. Can I hear amen? Yeah, I know that some of you, when I finish, I'll go for confession. Amen. No, but I'm very serious. Look, it is your life. It is your life. There are certain things that, they are not good for us. So please, follow the instructions in this manual. Okay? I told you last week, because I've heard people asking, what should we eat this? Should we eat that? Should we eat? Shouldn't we? But they said chicken. I said, look, read through this. Whatever is not there, it's not eatable. Okay, listen. I've told you that it is your choice. Okay? It is your choice. So what we are saying is that the advice, the general advice that is given for the Daniel plan is that, for us as Africans, when we want to eat, okay, we define the food we want to eat by the carbohydrates. Okay? So we say, I'm going to eat fufu. I'm going to eat banku. It means that the banku is about 95%. I'm going to eat kenke. I'm going to eat rice. But when you come to the Western world, they define the food you eat by the protein. You see, what do you want? Those of you, I know, who have never sat in a plane. I mean, you can't be here without sitting in a plane. So all of us have sat in a plane. How many of you have sat in a plane and then they've asked you, do you want rice or you want whatever, potato? No. They'll ask you, what do you want, chicken or beef? Don't you get it? Yeah. So, you see, you measure it by the percentage of it. So I said, if you are struggling with what is here, don't worry. Don't worry. If you want to eat your rice should be 25%. Vegetables, 50%. And then the other ones, 50%, 20, 25%. If you want to eat kenke, 25%. Then the rest, make it vegetables, make it fruit, make it, you know. So you live healthy. Is that confusing? No. You know, some of you are tempting me. You are pushing me. You know, you want me to allow you to do whatever you want to do. No, I can't allow you to do whatever you do. Because look, if you hit 55, 60, and then you start calling me, Pastor, my knee, Pastor, my hemiasis, Pastor, my back. I will tell you, when I was telling you, you didn't listen. So stop eating all those tolo beef, those pakun cherry, and those, no, stop eating those things. The meat, the fat, stop eating them. Drink more water, exercise. Yesterday it was very powerful here at the Zumba lesson. I want to encourage you, look, there are certain things you have to pay and attend, but we make it free for you. We want you to live healthy lives, so make the right choices. Are we on the same page? Do you still love me as your pastor? All right, I can see some of you, you still love me, but you need some more grace to love me more. Amen. All right, so pick up a booklet. We'll have it online. If you need it, soft copy, you can have the soft copy, but we have some hard copies. Just for the sake of the printing, we'll sell it, we'll give it out to you. We are not making any money out of it, just for the printing. So please take note. Every morning, 5 to 6, we meet online from Monday to Thursday, praying with the Women Ministry line. Okay, every day in the evening, Monday to Thursday, we meet online, 6 to 8, praying, praying, and praying, and praying. The Fridays are the only time that we come here. Now, I was telling the church on Friday, I said, ideally, we should have been meeting every day in the evening. But I've realized that most of us, we are too dependent on people, on prophets, on pastors, that we fail to depend on God and then to depend on God's word. So these 40 days, it is in your own court. You have to set your time for prayer. You have to set your time to study the word. You have to set your time to ask God to speak to you. Because we have just begun the year. There's so much God wants to reveal to you. You have to hear him for yourself. Because when you hear him for yourself, you will get the courage to take the step and then do it. Can I hear amen? So please don't let these 40 days just go away. So I don't care. They can do what they want to do. Please care small. Amen. And then the last week, the only time we are going to meet continually will be the last week of this month. Okay, the month of January will be here Wednesday night, Thursday night. Friday night is half night, 31st. Okay, that's the only time we're going to meet. And then, when we are finishing the program, the last week for the Daniel fast, we will be here for 7 days. So we come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we'll come the 16th to come and celebrate. Are you getting the point? Yeah, I want you to engage at the altar of prayer and engage at the altar of the word. We have given you everything you can use. At the back of this bulletin is that all of us are reading through the Bible for this year. All of us. Everybody. You can get Ghana Bible, Chi Bible, French Bible. You know, whatever, but read through. This morning we read through Romans. Okay, Romans chapter 3 and 4. Amazing scripture. Amazing scripture telling us about the faith that we have in Christ. Please, I'm pleading with you. I want to stand. When I stand before God, I'll tell them, I told you what he told me. But I want you to also stand and say, God, I did what he told me to do. So all of us can celebrate him. Can I hear amen? Amen. All right. This morning, I'm speaking on the simple theme, rich. That's what we are talking about, rich. You know, the word rich has different meanings. You can reach for something. Reach for food. Rich for whatever. Those of you did English. Me, I didn't do English. But what I'm talking about is in the context of the scripture. You know, I want you to understand this morning that for me as a church, as a pastor, my primary task, and for us as members of the church, our primary task is not to build the church. It might sound controversial, but don't worry. You'll get me. So if I am not to build the church, you are not to build the church, then who is supposed to be building the church? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. So I want you to understand that the builder of the church is Christ. The owner of the church is not Pastor De Graft. It is Christ. He will build his church. So the question is, then if that is so, then what is my role? What is your role? When you come to Living Word, one of the reasons why we say love, live, and reach is simple. Our mission here is to make living disciples everywhere by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that is our mission. The mission of the church is giving by the owner of the church, Jesus. So that mission is based on the great commandment and the great commission. So the great commandment is that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Okay? And love your neighbor as yourself. So the key there is love. And then the great commission is go into the world and make disciples. You know, go and make disciples. It didn't say just go and tell people about Jesus. It said go and make disciples. So we put those two together to give us our mission. The reason why we exist here. All right, so we exist here to make living disciples. And we caption it as living disciples because our name is Living Word. So living disciples for Christ. So get it clear. And then, what is our vision? What do we see? What do we want to see? When somebody says, I am a member of Living Word, or I am a liver, like the way I call all of you. You are all livers. Not kidney, liver. Okay, so we are all livers. So who is a liver? I mean, who is a Living Word member? Now, he's an individual who loves God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength. Okay, and loves his neighbor as himself. So somebody who loves people. So when you come here and then we look around and realize that you don't like people very well, then we can advise you to maybe look around. Okay, so you love God. And then the other thing is that the other thing that makes us see a liver is the person who lives his life by the word of God. You marry by the word of God. You relate by the word of God. You do everything you do. You do business by the word of God. You act by the word of God. See, you live your life according to the scriptures. You don't live your life according to whatever you think. I know that is not a little bit, you know, hard. But don't worry, let's travel on. And then, finally, we love, we live, and then we reach. Now, the reach part is the great commission part. And we believe that every individual that is born on this earth, God does not create you for nothing. He creates you with a purpose, with a reason. And so we believe that a Living Word member is an individual who also knows his uniqueness, his giftings, and is using it to reach the world. So you can't do what I do, and I can't do what you do, but all of us can use what we have to reach out. Look at your neighbor and tell him, are you a liver? Can I hear amen? Amen? So I want you to get it. So when we say love, live, and reach, that's what we mean. Love God. Look, I tell you this year, if you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, God will add all things to you. Now, I want to assure you that look, if you embark on this journey with all your heart and you make a decision to follow God, I prophesy to you, God will bless you to such an extent you can never even handle it. Because some of us, we don't know. It's good. Now, you know, yeah. When I said bless you, most of you, your mind is gone to money. You know. Yeah. But it is holistic blessing. Money is part of it. But I want you to understand that you have to make the choice to walk with God, to obey God, to love Him, to serve Him. Are you ready? So what I'm going to do this morning, it's just run you through, reach, and then use the word reach to show you some of the areas, the dimensions that we're going to travel. Is that okay? All right. So in order for you to leave this place and say, oh, Pastor De Graft, today you didn't read the scriptures. Let's begin with some scripture. Would that be okay? Isaiah chapter 2. King Dambro Kazaya, Libra Sutaya there. Those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time, we love all of you. Thank you. Those of you who have come to also support Auntie Vic, you are welcome. Ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. Oh, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient word. Okay, thank you very much. The Bible says this is what Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. And I want you to take note of the word saw. I want you to take note of it. Because on this journey, we are believing God that he will cause us to see. You see, he will cause us to see. He will cause you to see. He will open your eyes. He will give you an encounter. You know, there are certain things that you can take away from people. But there are other things too that you can never take away from a person. That is the level I want us and God wants us to get to. Look at it. It says, this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And I want you to take note. The Bible says, many peoples will come and say, come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. The Lord will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Scripture declares, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. I think this scripture need to be fulfilled in our lives and in our day. Looking at what is happening between US and Iran and Iraq. And, you know, we need peace. Can I hear amen? Yeah, on Friday we prayed for our prime minister. This is the time where you need to pray for him. Well, it's not easy for. I mean, the way the incident happened with the plane, you know, when you hear the story and you put it in context, you know that no, there's something wrong. I mean, this new aircraft, how can it come down like that? I mean, planes can come down, you know, and then they come up and then they say, you know, it was not intentional. But with the circumstances, it's not easy. If you are the prime minister and you are handling these things, it's not easy. So please, let's keep praying for the leaders of the world. Let's keep praying for them. Continue to pray for peace in the Middle East. Can I hear amen? Amen. Now, we are the ones who God is going to use to help bring the change. So let's make sure we are praying. Pray for this country. Don't take things for granted. Don't say, oh, I'm not there. I'm not traveling to Iran. Don't worry. If the Lord may... We are preaching about rich, so the Lord may ask you to go and do mission work in Iraq. Or the Lord may ask you to go to Afghanistan. Or Pakistan. Or wherever, or any of the stands. Some of us, we only want to go to, you know, places where we think is good. Yeah, we are going to Cuba next year, right? We are going to Ghana too next year. We'll be in Ghana in January, February ending, you know, first week in March, you know, for missions in Ghana. We want to encourage, we need some nurses, some doctors and so on to volunteer and go and serve, okay, in Ghana and in Cuba as well. So look at the scripture. It says, they will beat their swords. Look at it. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Give us insight today in Jesus' name. Can I hear amen? Amen. You know, when you look at the latter part of this text, it's very significant that, you know, God has the kind of world he wants us to live in. And God is counting on us, his people, to live right, to pave the way. And the way out is for us to live in the light. Okay, live in the light. What is that? Live in the scriptures. Live in the light of his word. Live in his word. When the world is trying to take the word out of the world, God says his people should live by the word. And I want to encourage you. There's a few things I've noted here before I move on there. I want you to understand that we are in the last days. Yeah. I want you to get it clear. We are in the last days. I don't have time to enumerate all the things. But even the war that is happening, all those things happening, is a sign, indication that we are in the last days. So don't take things for granted. Don't think that, oh, you have time. No, you don't. Now, I want you to understand that from these scriptures, there are a few things we need to know. First of all, these are the last days. Number two, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, is the Lord's temple established at the highest mountain. I want you to know that in this world, you, when we talk about the church, we are not talking about just the physical building. What we are talking about is you, the individual. And God is depending on you and is counting on you. Friends and family members who have gathered and hearing the voice of the sound of my voice. I want you to know that in your life, okay, wherever you go, in your workplace, there are people who will never, 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 never in their life come into contact with church or anybody Christian besides you. So I want you to see yourself, wherever you are, as a missionary over there, as the mountain of the Lord that has been set on a hill. So that this prophetic word will fulfill in your life. So when people in your workplace, if some of them are looking for somebody to give them counsel, they will come to you. To give them advice, they will come to you. Some of you are doing them already. I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Because you are the light. Shine, you are the light and the salt. Be the light and the salt wherever you are. Can I hear amen? Are you, is the Lord speaking to somebody? All right, so get it. It is God's will for all nations to flow, to stream, to river, to the Lord's mountain, the church, the members, the body of God. This is God's will. It is God's will that people will flood into the church. This is God's will. Look at it. It is God's will for many people to come to the body of Christ and learn and get revelation and get insight into the law, into the things of God. It is God's will. That when people are struggling outside there, whether in their business or in their marriage or in whatever situation they find themselves, when they find a member of the body of Christ, that person should be an answer to them. Church is not just here. Church is not just us gathering here. Church is you in the community making impact, making difference, letting the world know that Jesus is Lord. Look at your neighbor's face and say, Pastor is encouraging you. Most of us have thought, no, church is a place where we come and just give our tithe and offering, and then we go home. We satisfy our conscience that, oh, we have fulfilled all righteousness. So, Lord, we thank you. There you go. No, no, no. The real work is in you. The world is watching you. People are looking at us. Can I hear amen? It is God's will for the nations to know his ways and walk in his ways from the church, from the body of Christ. It is God's will that conflict ceases, peace prevail, wars are no more. No, it is God's will that nations become productive, developed, and blessed. It is God's will that all these things happen. It is God's will that the nations will walk in the light of the Lord as lived out by the body of Christ. It is significant that God is God's will for us to live in the light. Now, reach out. So let's look at what is in the word reach. Who should reach out? And I want to begin by saying that, and I said it from the beginning, I said, Pastor, I must know that I'm not here to build a church. And neither are you the people. If we are not supposed to build a church, then who is? According to Matthew 16:18, Jesus is supposed to build a church. He said, I will build my church. It is not our job to build a church. If it is not our job to build a church, then what is our job? What is our role? What is our kingdom task? Our job is to win everybody we can to the Savior. As a pastor, my job is to win every person I can to Christ. As a member, that is your job. I want you to listen. And then our job, according, and this is based on the Great Commission, the Great Commandments, okay, that I've summarized. Our job is to baptize everybody we can baptize. What do you need to baptize somebody who says, you go to work, and then somebody sees you, you preach to the person says, can I get baptized? And then say, what do I do? Should I call pastor? Well, okay, fine, you can call pastor. But look, if you have to baptize him in the tank at the workplace, baptize him. Yeah. The only thing you need is get a ball of kenke so you can get strength. And then put him and say, in the name of Pastor Zigras, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then bring the person out. When you finish, come and tell me you baptize the person. Yeah. No, it's Jesus who has given us the commission. It says, go and preach and baptize. This is the will of God. So this is our task. This is my job. This is your job. It's not just, now look at it. It says our job is to preach and teach the truth. That is our task. Our job is to heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. Now, these are in the scriptures. This is what God has commanded us to go and do. The reason why most of the time we don't see the signs, wonders, and miracles happening in our lives is that we think it has ceased. It hasn't. When you go, it will follow you. Yeah. When we go out there, it will follow. This is our job. Jesus has given us a job description. He did not leave us to wonder whether it will happen or not. No. What he says is go. When you go, the Bible says, and he, Jesus, working with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. When you go, signs and wonders and miracles will follow. When you sit, it will follow. We'll continue to take the pills. Take all those things. Yeah, we'll continue. Arise, church, and go. Yeah, whatever is happening on other continent, God has brought me here to assure and encourage you that, look, he's more than willing to ensure that those things happen here as well. It can happen in Canada. Canada must be saved. Canada can be saved. Canada should be saved. Canada must be saved. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I want to challenge you as church. Now, as we look into Rich, we look into next year, Rich. I want to encourage you, those of us who come for the main service. You know, we are praying seriously about this. We are looking at starting a second service. Within this, you know, start a second service. We are not going to shut down this first service, but I want to encourage you. Pray about it. I've told you already, pray about it with us. You know, and then be willing to sacrifice. Listen, when you lift up your eyes and you look at church and you look around, look at our community and look at how we are losing our young people. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 13. I responded to the call of God when I was about 17, 18. That's why I responded to the call. Okay, even when I was in the university, I knew God has called me to do his work. We should get some of our young people knowing, walking in life, knowing that God has called them for his ministry. Parents should encourage them to know that, look, this calling is worth following. We need some of our young people to be called into ministry. So we have them to advance it, advance the call. We can't be without them. So please, keep praying with the rich. Keep praying about it. When it comes, I will need all of us to sacrifice. If we need to sacrifice and come to church, for example, I'm not saying this, how we're going to do it. But for example, if the first service, the traditional service, we have to come at, say, 9:30 and then use 2 hours to do our service. So 9:30 to 2 hours will be what? 11:30. So we come 9:30, 11:30, and then we are done. We close. And then we go. Some of us can serve. And then we start the second service from 11:30 to reach out to the young adults, reach out to the next generation. We do it the Canadian contest. We stop singing the chi and ayayire and all those things. And then we sing the song that will attract them, that will get them in here. How many of you believe that this is something God will be very happy with us about? How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that, look, your children who don't want to have anything to do with God, they don't feel like coming to church. If you tell them, look, son, now the church, we have changed. You come. You can come in the afternoon. Come. There's something happening. You'll be blessed. Your life will change. My heart bleeds, not for myself, but for the children that we have given birth to here in this land. Is the African child just left to be with drugs and be with gangs and be outside and be destroyed by all those things? Don't we care? That they perish. That they die. Don't we care? Is that what we want? Is that why God has brought us into this world? Just for us to come to church Sunday morning, celebrate, dance, and be happy, and go home, and let everybody else go to hell. It won't happen in the living world. Lift up your voice and say, God help us. Say, God help us. Say, God help me. Rich is what I'm talking about. Jesus, this command wasn't given by Pastor DeGraff. Jesus said, go, reach out. Reach out. Go out there. Do it. Look at it very carefully. Very significant for us to do it that way. So look, that is your job. Let's note that. And God will help us. So who should reach out? Kofi, I wanted us to watch a video, but because of my time, but if you go home, you know, watch this video on YouTube. It is Lost at Sea. How many minutes is that? About 5 minutes? 11 minutes? Is it okay if we watch it for 11 minutes? Okay, let's watch it. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Now, the voice that you heard was Bonky's voice. He went to be with the Lord, I think about a month or so ago, I was privileged to be at his funeral in Florida, you know, where they passed on the torch. You know, in his lifetime, he lived for 79 years. In his lifetime, and this is recorded, that people who made decision to give their life to Christ was over 79 million, which means that every year of his life that he spent on this earth, every year, brought 1 million souls to Christ. Right? I mean, all of us cannot be bonky, but all of us can do something. Friends, I want you to understand, in this vision that God has given to us, this rich mandate, God is telling us that the church of God, like Bonky said, is not a pleasure boat. Look at what was happening outside. People were dying. And the church was so comfortable, enjoying and drinking wine. Now, did you see it? Sometimes you think, oh, it's movie. Look at our lives. When was the last time you went out there to tell somebody about Jesus? Who at all can you say that when you go to heaven, the person will give you a high five and say, thank you for saving me? No, it's okay to do things around church. It's okay. But it's not okay if you don't do the main thing. Yeah. The main thing is for us to go out there and win souls. By all means, talk to somebody about Jesus. And that is what we need to do. Can I hear amen? Amen. You know, we have turned the church of God into a pleasure boat. And we are enjoying ourselves and doing whatever we need to do. So let's look at what we need to look at. So who should go? So look at the word rich. I'm looking at the word rich. The first question we are asking is who? First of all, the first arrow there under who means responsible believers. Okay? It means respectable believers, reliable believers, redeemed believers. Now, if you are redeemed, you have redeemed to also redeem others. So that's the first acronym, rich. Okay? Responsible believers. E there is every believer in Christ. So the rich for us is for every believer in Christ. Everybody have to go. And then the A there is for appointed believers. Well, what I mean there is that there are certain people who have been specially called, for example, evangelists and so on. They will also go, but it's for every believer. The C there is commanded, committed congregation. Where the congregation will know that we have been commanded and we have been asked to go out there and reach the lost. And then the last H there for the who is Holy Spirit-filled believers. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. May God forgive us as Pentecostals. You know, we have reduced it to mean that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will speak tongues. Thank God for the tongues. Tongues is good, but that is not the primary purpose. Anytime you speak in tongues, ask yourself, how many souls have the tongues won? Because that is the reason. Yeah. Oh, can't cast a fufrona. No, Jesus said, you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world. Okay, those of you who don't see anybody here translating, we want you to understand that translation is going on. And those who don't understand the English language, no, we give them the earpiece so they are listening. We've sent them to United Nations seminar. So they are in the United Nations. They are amongst us, but they are very privileged and empowered to be listening. All right. And then the translators are in the booth translating for them. You know, because we are trusting God to move us forward. So please, Holy Spirit-filled believers. Okay. So as a church, we have to make soul winning the most important activity in the church. Now, any church that has soul winning as the most important activity in the church will show in the church programs. What day do we have going out, reaching out? When you look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, sometimes we laugh at them, but they are very persistent. Yeah, look at the Mormons. They are very persistent. They will knock at your door. They will do whatever they need to. They will sell you the booklet, even if you want to buy it or not. No, they will leave it for you and tell you, next week I'll come and collect it. No, they know. Their priority is their souls. What is our priority? Dancing, jumping, shouting, screaming, fighting, unnecessary things. We have taken our eyes off the main thing. Look at your neighbor and tell him, we have to go back to the main thing. We have to go back. And then let the person sitting by you understand that. Don't be confused. The main thing is for me and for you to go and win souls. That's the main thing. Tell the person, don't be confused. Tell the person, don't be confused. The main thing is soul winning. You know, sometimes we want to justify ourselves by the activities that we do. Okay? So let's look at it. So who should go out? And I'm using the word rich. It's rich. Okay, so the first one is who. The second one is when. So when should we do it? Now listen, Dr. John R. Rice said something. He says, give me 100 out soul winning on Thursday night, and I will give you 1,000 in attendance on Sunday morning. Unfortunately, what has happened in Canada is that we have become so consumed with 1,000 in attendance on Sunday that we have absolutely neglected 100 out soul winning on Thursday. Now what is he saying? We want the church to grow, but the church can never grow if you don't become very intentional and go out there specifically and win souls. So Dr. Rice is saying, give me a church that has like Thursday night is outreach night, like they go out to reach out, and you will find a church that is gathered and filled on Sunday. Because if you don't go out there, who should bring them? Nobody. So we'll just be as and where we are, where two or three have gathered. Yeah. Why do I drive garden? And then we'll also be praying, oh, if it is the will of the Lord. It is the will of the Lord for us to go out. Yeah, that's the will of the Lord. The Bible says the church in the book of Acts, the people went out preaching from house to house. They're meeting, they're gathering. So we can't come to church Sunday morning and go and then sleep and do whatever we want the whole week, not go, not do any evangelism, and we expect the church to grow. No, no, no. It's impossible. That's not the way the Lord has made it. So Thursday, give us Thursday. So we are going to set one day this year, one day in the week, all of us, everybody from the pastor to the youngest person, all of us, will all go out there, two by two, divide us two by two, go out wherever you are, in your community, your workplace, during the daytime, the evening, we'll come here and then we'll go. Look, if we want, we have to mean business. Yeah. There are people perishing. There are people dying. There are young people hooked on drugs. People hooked on other things. So we are here comfortable. We sit down and then we watch them. Then we hear the gunshots. Say, hey, Canada, people are shooting. Why wouldn't they shoot? Because we are not doing anything about it. We are not doing anything about it. It's not just prayer. We have to pray and go. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers into the harvest field. So look at, so when should we go? It's rich. The first R is the regularly. Let's go regularly. E there is every day. Let's go every day. The A there is let's go at appointed times. You know, when you set yourself time and say, I'm going to go out there. And then C there is let's go constantly. And then the H there is that let's go hourly. Now, research has shown that what it takes, the number of hours it takes for you to engage somebody outside is just an hour. Engage the person. The person doesn't have to accept the gospel. He doesn't have to believe in you. Whether he accepts or not, you have done your part. You go. You just share the good news and leave. The important thing is for us to share. Is the Lord speaking to somebody? Is the Lord speaking to you? Okay, so where should we go and do it? Where should we go? Now, before you leave, ask the Holy Spirit where to go soul winning. Okay, and then move on. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where should I go? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to this morning? And the Holy Spirit will help you. So let's pick up the rich and see some of the things. So the first area there is roadsides and restaurants. Some of you have to begin to eat in certain restaurants that you haven't been eating in because you want to win souls. No, go to the restaurant. There are people are there. Get to the restaurant. E, employment zones. Where the employment, where you work, interact with people, friends who come to work with you, interact with them. Then awareness. Some of you like movies. You know, sometimes you have to be intentionally go to movie so you can win somebody for Christ. You just don't go and say, hey, the movie is nice, blah. No, you have to go with the mission. Hey, blow my, keep, please, keep. No, go there with the mission. How many of you are movie lovers? Movie, you like movies? Yeah, I like it. If you don't bring two souls from the movie center, you will see what I'll do to you. No, whatever you do, listen, I'm your pastor. I don't want you to do something you don't like doing and you can't do. Some of you, if I tell you, please rise up and go to Jen Finch and go and stand there and preach, you can't do it. Do it wherever you are. Okay, don't stress yourself. Look, evangelism without stress. One of these days I'll preach on that. Evangelism without stress. No stress. Making money without stress. Those of you who be at the business meeting the evenings, Sunday evenings, you see, look, sign up. Sign up. It's mega. It's very mega. You see what the Lord will do. We are here. Give us just 5 years and 10 years. We will raise the millionaires from here. Yeah, because if you're a millionaire and a billionaire, you are supposed to win souls. When you win souls, God gives you ideas. Some of you, you know, when I talk about this, sometimes people don't see. But the benefits, I will conclude this series with the benefits of soul winning. Some of you, your husbands are out there hooked on cocaine. When they get changed, you will get them to marry. No, it's true. Yeah. Some of the people who need to sponsor, some of the people who need to play some of the instrument, midweek service, singers, look, tons of them are out there. When the Lord touches them and changes them, we will see them here. No, don't joke with it. This is people's lives. Can I hear amen? Amen. All right, Kofi, so give me. So the arenas, and then the sea, the last sea, there's communities, cities, countries, and then, you know, continents. This are home, and then homes and hospitals. So wherever we go, whether homes or hospitals, find time. Talk to somebody about Jesus. This is where we need to go. The Lord has asked us to go by the wayside, okay? Compel them to come. So look at it very carefully. What do we have? So we have answered who, we have answered where with the rich, okay? We have answered when, and then where with the rich. Is that okay? Okay, so let's look at how. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, a king came up with a banquet, and then we can find some of the ways by which he asked them to go out. But let's use the word rich to help us know how we can do it. Now listen, the first R there under how is relate. Look, relate nice with people. When you go to work, smile. Even if your husband beats you in the room before you go, you left, smile. When you get to your entrance, say, God, I thank you. I receive smiles. And then go out to work and smile. Relate well. It's relationship. The key is relationship. So that's the first one. Can you roll that one for me? So let's see, so that they can get it. So the R is relate. And then let's go to the next one. We'll relate with them very well. And then the E there is engage. You know, make sure you engage with people. Engage them one-on-one in conversation. You know, don't just go and say, hey, you are a sinner. If you don't repent, you go to hell. No. Don't do that. From next week, we'll teach you some of the practical ways by which you can reach out. So relax. So engage with people and then accept. Accept every person. The fact that you accept the person doesn't mean you are doing what he's doing. You know, when you see somebody, just say, hey, are you straight or you are bent? No. That's not your case. Befriend everybody. Be nice with everybody. Pray for everybody. Relate with everybody. Look, because everybody is a candidate to heaven. Don't be good. You know, Christians, we are professors and professionals in condemning and judging. We know people who should go to hell and those who should go. Are you an angel? No, you are not an angel. The angels, God has given the angels work. The angels' work is that they will reap. They will decide who goes to hell. Those of us who are human beings, our responsibility is for us to go and share the gospel. Can I hear amen? Amen. So don't be moving around saying, you are drinking. The way you drink, you go to hell. Are you the judge? Yeah, even if you drink and you don't go to hell, you destroy your kidney. So you keep on drinking. No, are you getting my point? Okay, so please, if we want to reach out to people, let's use reach. Relate well, engage well, accept all people, connect with people, and then help people. Sometimes when you are going to work, be intentional. You know, you prepare your food, or you are even going to work with water, like water bottle. Sometimes intentionally take two. Intentionally take two. One is for you, one is for your new convert you are going to meet. Yeah, be intentional. If you're going to work, yeah, be evangelistic. See, be missional. God has not just brought you here just to go. So this is the way we're going to do. We'll break all those things down. Are you happy you came to church with the rich? All right. So let's see. So let me finish with why. The reason, the benefit, the purpose. Is that okay? Okay, let's finish. So let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up, the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:9, if we do not give up, we will. So let's pick up the rich again. Okay, so it's the rich. Today is the rich. I'm laying out. So the first one is that when we go and win souls, there's reward. Hey, listen. If you go to work Monday to Friday and they pay you, it is not gift. It is salary. It is wages. Wages. And I'm what? If you go and win souls and the church is growing, it is wages. God will give us wages. God will bless you. Look at some of the blessings. I've listed them here. They have it as well. There will be deep sense of joy and satisfaction. Peace, joy, by your obedience, you receive joy. Affection and gratitude from those who are won to Christ. Joy and honor. God will honor you. When you go out there and win souls, God will honor you. I prophesy to you. No, the joy that you have. Look at the second one. The second one. The second word. The first word is reward. The second word is eternity. In John 17, verse 3, the Bible says this is eternal life. All right? That they believe in the Son. When people believe in the Son, they will have eternal life. So you have eternal life, and the people you talk to will also have eternal life. Life with God forever. Now, because of this, be motivated. You will have eternal life. There is joy in the presence. Look at the next one. The next one is awards. You know, God will tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will shine like stars. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, those who are wise and those who bring many from sin to righteousness will shine like the stars. That's reward. You know, if you want to shine like the stars, find out. Win souls. You will shine like the stars. Can I hear amen? Amen. And then the fourth one. What's the fourth word? Crowns. There will be crowns. I don't know the crown that you will wear. But let me give you a breakdown. When you read the Bible, there are different crowns. But let me give you about five. First of all, we have the incorruptible crowns. That one is for those who live a disciplined life. If you live a disciplined life, you receive a crown of... And you receive an incorruptible crown. So when you are in church member, you come, you live your life anyhow. You receive crown. But it shouldn't be an incorruptible crown. Maybe corruptible crown. Maybe. No, because sometimes we come to church and we take things for granted. It's true. You live your life anyhow. You are nailing Christ to the cross again. People look at you and they wonder whether they should call you a born again or born against. You know, you come to church, but your life doesn't even show anything. Look at it carefully. It's a crown for those incorruptible crown is for those who live a disciplined life. 1 Corinthians 9:25 is there. And then we have the crown of life for those who patiently endure trials and testing. James chapter 1 verse 12. You know, you will receive the crown of life. And then the third crown is the crown of glory. For those who care for the flock. So this one is for pastors and leaders. If you are a pastor and the reason you are pastoring is for your stomach and for your pocket, you receive the crown. Maybe you receive the crown of pocket. Maybe. But if you want the crown of glory, take care of the people. Love the people. Care for the people. 1 Peter 5:2-4. And then we have the crown of rejoicing. For all who are faithful soul winners. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, you will receive the crown of rejoicing. You will rejoice. Everybody will be in heaven, but you will be in where people are rejoicing. Somebody said, hey, me cry, look, pastor, if I go to heaven and even the Lord put me in heaven zongo, I think I'll be happy. You have to change your mind. You have to change your mind. And then what else do we have? H, heaven. Heaven. Look, heaven is real. Hell is real. In John chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, what does the Bible say? Let me see if I can remember my quotation. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, for in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it is not, I wouldn't have told you. Look, there are mansions there in heaven. And whatever you are doing here on this earth, you are building it. And one of the key things you can use to build very powerful mansion for yourself is soul winning. Is soul winning. Look, please, don't just be satisfied with coming to church and clamping and dancing and paying your tithe and offering. They will give you some blessings. But soul winning is also included. So don't close your mind and think that, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters. Are you happy you came to church? Okay, so this morning we've looked at who should go, where we should go, how we should go, why we should go. Why we should go. And I told you in Isaiah chapter 2 that it is God's will that the nations will flood into the house. It is God's will. How can they hear if no one goes? How can they come if no one tells them? So this morning, I'm here to just thank you for being a member of Living Word. But I want you to know that here God has given us a mandate. Okay? He's told us that we should go out there and make living disciples. Bring in people who will love him, who will live the word, who knows their gifts and uses it to reach out. I pray and trust that as we look at reach, you go out there, set yourself personal goals to also reach out. I have said, if all of us will reach out every month to 12 people, by the end of the year, that will be 144 per person. Can you imagine? Even if out of the 144, God gives us 10% to be in the church. Can you imagine? You, if you can't do 12 in a month, tell yourself, God, every month, help me to reach out to one person. One person, work on the person, disciple the person, love the person, care for the person, relate with the person. Once every month, one times 12, 12 people in a year. If out of the 12, even one person stays, at least in a year, you have won one soul. Are you getting the point? Look, if we don't become intentional, specific, we can't get it done. I pray that God will grant us all the grace. I pray that God will give us the boldness. I pray that God will give us the courage. I pray that God will give us the strength to launch out there and then do it. So let me announce to you that from next week, what we are going to talk about is reach. We have laid a foundation, but reach the way of Jesus. How did Jesus do it? And how does Jesus expect us to do it? That is what we'll be looking at from the weeks ahead.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.